I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is May 9th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, toddlers and TV. Early exposure has negative and long-term impact. The article begins, want kids who are smarter and thinner? Keep them away from the television set as toddlers. A shocking study from child experts at the University of Montreal and the University of Michigan, published in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, has found that television exposure at age 2 forecasts negative consequences for kids, ranging from poor school adjustment to unhealthy habits. Dr. Pagani is quoted as saying, "We have found every additional hour of TV exposure among toddlers corresponded to a future decrease in classroom engagement and success at math, increased victimization by classmates, a more sedentary lifestyle, higher consumption of junk food, and ultimately, higher body mass index." The goal of the study was to determine the impact of TV exposure at age 2 on future academic success, lifestyle choices, and general well-being among children. Between the ages of 2 and 4, even incremental exposure to television delayed development. A total of 1,314 kids took part in the investigation, which was part of the Quebec Longitudinal Study of Child Development Main Exposure. Parents were asked to report how much TV their kids watched at 29 months and at 53 months in age. Teachers were asked to evaluate academic, psychosocial, and health habits, while body mass index was measured at 10 years old. Early childhood is a critical period for brain development and formation of behavior, warns Dr. Pagani. High levels of TV consumption during this period can lead to future unhealthy habits. Despite clear recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics suggesting less than 2 hours of TV per day beyond the age of 2, parents show poor factual knowledge and awareness of such existing guidelines. According to the investigation, watching too much TV as toddlers later forecasted a 7% decrease in classroom engagement, a 6% decrease in math achievement with no harmful effects on later reading, a 10% increase in victimization by classmates, which included peer rejection, being teased, assaulted, or insulted by other students, a 13% decrease in weekend physical activity, a 9% decrease in general physical activity, a 10% peak in snacks intake, and a 5% increase in BMI, or body mass index. Although we expected the impact of early TV viewing to disappear after 7.5 years of childhood, the fact that negative outcomes remained is quite daunting, says Dr. Pagani. Our findings make a compelling public health argument against excessive TV viewing in early childhood and for parents to heed guidelines on TV exposure from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Since TV exposure encourages a sedentary lifestyle, Dr. Pagani says television viewing must be curbed for toddlers to avoid the maintenance of passive mental and physical habits in later childhood. Common sense would have it that TV exposure replaces time that could be spent engaging in other developmentally enriching activities and tasks which foster cognitive, behavioral, and motor development. What's special about this study is how it confirms suspicions that have been out there and shown by smaller projects on one outcome or another. This study takes a comprehensive approach and considers many parental, pediatric, and societal factors simultaneously. And now we move to the science segment. Today's subject, scientists creating star to solve energy woes. A giant laser will zap a mini sun into existence. Scientists are planning to use the world's largest laser to zap a tiny star into existence on Earth. The project at California's Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory aims to create nuclear fusion by firing the giant laser at hydrogen isotopes. This would theoretically cause a miniature sun capable of filling all the world's energy needs to blink into existence for an instant. the star would be microscopically small and only exist for 200 trillionths of a second. The controlled fusion experiment poses no danger whatsoever to the public. If the experiment set to go ahead this summer is a success, scientists say that nuclear fusion plants extracting vast amounts of energy from seawater could be just 20 years away. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Saudi Arabia, where a TV mystic lingers in jail. For more than 2 years, Ali Hussein Sabbat of Lebanon has been held in prison in Saudi Arabia, convicted of sorcery and sentenced to death. His head is to be chopped off by an executioner wielding a long curved sword. His crime? Manipulating spirits, predicting the future, concocting potions, and conjuring spells on a call-in television show called The Hidden on a Lebanese channel. It was, in effect, a Middle Eastern psychic hotline. Sorcery is the ability to influence matters that affect people's lives through the use of spirits, said Abdulaziz Al-Ghassim, a retired Saudi judge. It is impossible to prove such an act except through confession, and confessions are suspect. The authorities say that Mr. Sabbat confessed. Several times in recent months, Mr. Sabbat's lawyer, his wife, and his four children were told he would, any day, be escorted to a public square for his beheading. And several times, the execution was postponed after an outcry from international human rights groups and the Lebanese government. Mr. Sabbat's odyssey through the Saudi justice system began in 2008 when he traveled to the kingdom to perform what is called an umrah, or a minor pilgrimage, in the holy city of Mecca. He was arrested in a sting operation staged by the religious police. Men with long beards and ankle-length gowns, who technically have no authority to arrest but who wield tremendous power in the conservative kingdom. He was jailed after agreeing to give a woman a potion so that her husband would divorce a second wife. The religious police said they recorded the transaction. Shortly after his arrest, Mr. Sabbat appeared on a Saudi television talk show and confessed to sorcery. "Most of my treatments were with honey and seeds," he said. "You would put the charm in the honey and drink from it." Since then, he has remained in prison, and in 2009, he was sentenced to death. His Lebanese lawyer, May El Khanza, said that he confessed only because he was assured that if he did so, he would be released. There have been some indications he will be spared by King Abdullah and let go, though that remains uncertain. "It's been 2 years of this mental anguish," said his wife, Samira Ramoun, during a telephone interview from their home in the Baalbek area of Lebanon. 2 years of torture. They are killing an innocent man and they are slowly killing a whole family. There has been little public outcry in Saudi Arabia over the case, which is considered rather ordinary according to political experts in the capital, Riyadh. But the international attention and criticism has cast a harsh light on the ultra-religious side of Saudi Arabia as the kingdom is working to improve its reputation, especially in the West. The case highlights not only the popular belief in magic and sorcery, by no means unique to Saudi Arabia, but also a legal system that critics say operates in secret and functions with little oversight, due process, or even written laws. Saudi Arabia's constitution is the Quran. According to Amnesty International, Mr. Sabbat does not even have a lawyer in Saudi Arabia. Ms. Khanza is in Lebanon. The judges think they are the interpreters of God's word, and this is the whole problem in Saudi Arabia, said Ibrahim Al-Mughatib, director of Human Rights First Society, an independent monitoring group in the kingdom. "We have enormous numbers of examples where the same case was judged radically different between two judges." Mr. Sabbat appeared on Lebanese television, earning $700 a month to answer callers' questions, offer advice, cast spells, or recite incantations. The Saudi television anchor, who interviewed Mr. Sabbat shortly after his arrest, described him as a notorious swindler. "But fraud, while a crime, is not punishable by death," said Mr. Al-Ghassim, the retired judge. "Only actual sorcery is a crime." You have to differentiate between the acts that cheat or deceive people for money, which deserve to be punished, and dealing with magic. There is no mechanism to prove it, and any confession is open to doubt, especially if someone confesses in prison. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Quentin Crisp, born 1908, died 1999 at the age of 90. Crisp was an English writer and raconteur. He became an icon of homosexuality in the 1970s after publication of his memoir, The Naked Civil Servant. Brought to the attention of the general public his defiant exhibitionism and refusal to keep his sexuality private. Crisp relates, "When I told the people of Northern Ireland that I was an atheist, a woman in the audience stood up and said," and now this is the quote from Quentin Crisp, "Yes, but is it the God of the Catholics or the God of the Protestants in whom you don't believe?"
Are you ready, Goose?